We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Madam President, we see how every year many lawmakers' bills are held until after the budget vote, and sometimes those bills don't even get a vote. As with this year, there were important issues like the Good Samaritan bill. So isn't there a better way to do things than having this end-of-session rush where so much legislation usually gets voted on, or sometimes not, at the end of session?
It's not the Senate practice to hold back senators' legislation until after the budget. And to that end, the Speaker and I have, I think, made significant strides in ensuring major pieces of legislation went to the governor early this year. Representative Costa came to me early on the sex trafficking legislation. We addressed campaign finance reforms prior to the break. Minimum wage was accomplished early. And so to that end, I do feel very confident that we've heard the concerns of the public and have been committed to securing agreement early on many of those issues.
In terms of the impasse between the House and Senate last week, some observers might conclude that the House got more of its priorities passed than the Senate. They might think the Senate was the loser in this impasse. What do you say?
I would say that both sides did extremely well. I haven't heard anyone say anything other than that in terms of major priorities, many of which were in the budget. That included, for the Senate, education was a priority this year. All-day kindergarten funding, certainly the school building authority. The Senate had a task force last year on that issue. Tip credit, Gail Golden was a real champion on. And in many cases, the fact is, senators and reps work together on these issues.
Let's go to Scott.
I know you're not a big fan of same-sex marriage, but how do you feel about Bishop Thomas Tobin's call for Catholics to resist the Supreme Court decision allowing and legalizing same-sex marriage in all 50 states?
I respect the bishop's role as the leader of the Catholic Church to make those public statements. However, I respect the Constitution, the courts, and perhaps because I'm a lawyer, I look at it differently and would certainly not join in that call. However, certainly there is room, whether it's on the issues of guns or going to war or this, for conscientious objection in any area by anyone. And that's what our country's made of.
We know the PawSox are talking with the state about revising their proposal for a Providence Stadium. We don't have an actual proposal right now, but generally speaking, how do you feel about the idea of a Providence ballpark and the possibility of some degree of public subsidy?
I've always kept an open mind towards the ballpark, that it could possibly be a spark to downtown. However, I have concerns that need to be answered. The proposal which has been put forward is not acceptable, nor have I heard one person in the public say to me that the significant subsidy which they were asking for made an ounce of sense. And there's also issues around the I-195 permitting, which I am concerned about. As you know, Leader Ruggiero for 10 years has been working to develop that land, you know, on the I-195 parcel. It's so critical to not just Providence and Rhode Island's development, and there's a single permit surrounding that land. So I think that the public relations effort that this group put forward was nothing short of a disaster, and there is no public rallying cry. I've indicated in conversations that even the guys sitting in the restaurant watching the game on television don't support it. So I am a Red Sox fan. I think the PawSox have been a very important part of Rhode Island. I hope that at the end of the day, the governor and her team working with them can convince them to find value in continuing to call Rhode Island their home.
We're talking here with State Senate President Teresa Pivoweed.
I'm just wondering, Madam President, if Federal Magistrate Patricia Sullivan is elevated to the Federal District Court, would you flatly rule out applying for her job as Federal Magistrate?
I had not given it any consideration. Thank you for asking, though, and I find it flattering that that may be out and around, but I had not given it any consideration. And with the current status of things in Washington, I'm sure that question's a long way in the offing.
You're probably right. One other question. On charter schools, we had a lot of back and forth during this session about that. Do we need to change the state education funding formula because the charter schools are drawing too much state aid away from traditional public schools?
We absolutely do. And that is one of the most positive things that came out of the last day of session. A group of senators went down and met with the governor, Dan DePont, Hannah Gallo, Adam Satchel, and Ryan Pearson. And they had a great meeting with her and really explaining to her, as Senator Pearson often says, that the challenge financially to a town like Cumberland is no less overwhelming than the pension challenges if this number continues to quadruple. There are certain categories of funding which the charter schools now receive the benefit of, such as Catholic school transportation and funding, that could very easily be changed in the education funding formula. That last day of session, the governor committed to those members, and I anticipate she is going to issue an executive order or take, even if she doesn't do that, work together with Barbara Cottom, the new chair of education, to address this issue. I'm confident that the new chair, Barbara Cottom, is a terrific leader, and she gets it. She understands that charter schools are playing a very important role around the state, that they are all created differently, but particularly the mayorals are creating a parallel school system within the state for which the state is not providing any additional funding to the traditional school districts, and therefore we're actually hurting the traditional school districts in order to promote the charter schools. So if we as a state decide charter schools are important, we need to fund them and not at the expense of our traditional public schools.
How long would you like to remain as president of the Senate?
Well, I know I'm good for a year and a half unless something happens in the meantime.
You're referring to the next election for the position.
Yes.
So is it your intention right now to seek another term as Senate president?
It is.
And in terms of the Governor Raimondo's truck toll plan, the state Senate passed that. The House did not pass that. The rollout of that seemed a little problematic. The governor misspoke at times about what kind of trucks would be impacted by that. What is your explanation for why Governor Raimondo rolled out that proposal so late in the legislative year?
I don't think rolling something out 6 weeks before the end of the session is so late at all. She was working on it and had one of the better prepared proposals, I think, if you asked a lot of folks at the State House, replete with charts. As with any major proposal, there was a lot of concerns from the smaller truck classes, what are known as 6 and 7. I have personally learned a lot more about trucks than I ever imagined I would learn this legislative session. I do not find it an indication of anything that the governor in some of her initial comments may have confused a class 6, a class 7, or a class 8 truck. Some of the 3 and 4 wheel axles, trailers, and single units. I actually had a chart by the end of the session I was carrying around. So when individuals asked me, would this landscaper be affected, I could actually say, what kind of truck does he or she have, and take a look at it. What the governor did do in her First Amendment to the House Finance Committee was take out a lot of the smaller trucks, which is where the initial confusion was. At the press conference, we were all talking about what we call commonplace 18-wheelers, the larger trucks with the trailers. And the actual proposal that first came forward was larger in scope. She came forward, reduced the size of the bond that would be needed, and accordingly reduce the number of trucks that would be impacted. And for a reason, we heard from business, we listened to business, and in particular, our Rhode Island businesses that were going to be impacted. And the legislation was significantly changed to address the concerns of the business community after hours of work, hours of hearing, and hours of meetings.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And State Senate President Teresa Pivoweed.
Thank you for having me, and it was enjoyable.